सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। शांति शांति शांति। ओम समस्त जन कल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवेत्तरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवेत्तरं। शांताकारं भुजगशयनं पद्मनाभं सुरेशं विश्वाधारं गगनसदृशं मेघवर्णं शुभांगं लक्ष्मीकांतं कमलनयनं योगिभिर्ध्यानगम्यं वंदे विष्णुं भवभयहरं सर्वलोकैकनाथं सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः। ॐ कृष्णाय वयं नमः। ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। Hari Om. So in this most beautiful text, which is overflowing with the juice of bhakti, that's what Raja Kulashekhar said last week. He said that this name of the Lord has the ability to take us to the highest goal of man, that is enlightenment. At the same time, it is full of the juice of nectar, just as when you bite into a fruit that is oozing with honey. That's how this name of the Lord is so sweet. And he says that this body is going to get old, time is limited. So, oh humans, please chant the name of the Lord, which is sweetest, which will take you to the highest goal. And the reason for chanting, as he said, is not to escape hell or to go to heaven, but may life after life after life, I may remember you constantly. So that is the goal of this chanting. And that's why he begs his tongue, oh, please, my tongue, please keep chanting the sweet names of the Lord. And then last week we saw that the Lord's relations, you know, his mother is Devaki, his friend is Arjuna, and his son is, as Vishnu Bhagwan, is the Brahmaji, the creator. And so all his relationships he listed, and he said this whole Jagat is a creation of your Maya, and your grace is Mukti. Oh, it's only through your grace that we can get mukti. So this is just a brief summary of what the shlokas we have covered. So today we'll do little Sanskrit. We'll study some Sanskrit. So those who are studying Sanskrit will enjoy that. Those who are not will also enjoy this beautiful shloka, where all the 8 declensions are given. In Sanskrit, any noun is declined in 8 ways. One is the subject, then the object, the instrument, then for whom it is done, from where it comes, to whom it belongs, where does it reside, and the 8th one is like address. So here he is using the 8 declensions to express his love for Bhagwan Sri Krishna. Jagriti, would you like to chant shloka number 34? Can unmute, please.
Yes.
Yeah. Krishna rakshatu no jagatraya guru krishnam namasyamyaham.
Krishna Rakshatu
satu no jagatyatra yaguru krishnam namasyamyaham
krishne namara shatravo vinihata krishnaya tasmai namaha
krishne namara shatravo nivihata vinihata krishnaya tasmai namaha
krishna deva samuttitam jagadidam krishnasya dasosmyaham
krishna deva samuttitam jagadidam krishnasya dasosmyaham
krishne tishtati sarvametadakhilam he krishna rakshasvamam
krishne tikshati sarvametadakhilam he krishna rakshasvamam
okay together you can please mute krishna rakshatu no jagat raya guru krishnam namasyamyaham krishne namar shatravo vinihata krishnaya tasmai namaha krishna deva samuttitam jagaditam krishnasya dasosmyaham krishne tishtati sarvametadakhilam he krishna rakshasvamam
So he has used Bhagwan Shri Krishna in all eight declensions. So first is the subject. Krishna, O Lord, Rakshatu no. O Lord, you please protect us. And who is Krishna? May he protect us, not you, because then you would become a subject. O Krishna, may Krishna protect us. Who is he? Jagatraya Guru. He is the guru of all the three worlds. You know, this knowledge that we have, it not only illumines the earth, but also the devas also need this knowledge. And of course, those who are in the lower worlds need this knowledge. So he is the guru of all the three worlds. And that's why Krishnam Namasyami Aham. I bow down to, I prostrate to Krishna. So here Krishna becomes the object. Then Krishnena, by Bhagwan Shri Krishna, that is the instrumental case. Amar Shatravo Vinihataha. Amar means the devatas. Devatas are considered amar because compared to us, they live a much longer life. Of course, they are also not eternal. When the creation merges, then the devatas also merge. But compared to us, they are amar because they live for maybe billion years or however many years this creation is there. So that's why he said they are amar. Shatravo vinihataha. So by Krishna, the enemies of the devas. Who are the enemies of the devas? Demons. Vinihata. Nihata means destroyed. Vinihata means completely destroyed. So Bhagwan Shri Krishna, when he appeared on earth, destroyed all the demons of that time. And also Bhagwan Vishnu, through his various avatars, has destroyed various demons throughout the history. So Krishnena Amara Shatravo Vinihataha. And to that Krishnaya Tasmai Namaha. Therefore, my prostration to that Krishna, Bhagwan Shri Krishna, the fourth case. And then fifth is Krishnat Eva, from Krishna alone, Samuthitam Jagadidam. This whole universe. Uthitam means has emerged, has come out of Krishna alone. So Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is from where this whole world manifested. Jagadidam, this whatever world we perceive and also what we don't perceive, everything is from him. And Krishnasya Daso Asmi Aham. I am Krishna's Dasa. I am Bhagwan Shri Krishna's servant of. So that is the sixth case. I am the servant of Bhagwan Shri Krishna. Asmi Aham. I am Asmi. And where does this world reside? Krishne in the seventh case. In Bhagwan Shri Krishna, Tishthati. Tishthati means resides or stays. Sarvam etad akhilam. Sarvam etad akhilam. Whatever all we see, everything that we see resides in Bhagavan Sri Krishna alone. And the eighth case, O Krishna, hey Krishna, rakshasvamam, protect me. So here we see that all the eight cases are used to express a devotee's love for Bhagavan Sri Krishna and his surrender. But what is important is that in this vibhaktis, we should not lose bhakti. You know, some people get so caught up in the grammar. You know, that's why in Bhaj Govindam he said, Bhaj Govindam mood mate, samprapte, sannihite kale, nahi nahi rakshati dukrin karne. Grammar rules will not protect you. So the point is that in studying grammar, we should not forget what is the purpose of studying. That why are we studying? To turn our mind to the higher, not get stuck in the... Or sometimes people do rituals, they get so stuck in exact performance and exact chanting that they forget that I'm doing all this for the Lord. So whatever skills we have should be utilized. So somebody likes grammar, okay, use the grammar and language to glorify Bhagwan. Somebody likes to sing bhajans for Bhagwan. Or if you like to compose poetry or hymns, you know, compose beautiful bhajans. Or if you like to write prose, you know, write about Bhagwan's glory. So the point is that all of our talents should be turned in that direction. So it's like somebody maybe is a professor of Sanskrit at some famous university, but then his whole purpose is to show his knowledge, and he can chant Upanishads, translate every word, but if he does not lead to bhakti, then that knowledge is useless. So that's why there's a story. There was these two devotees in Guru Vayur in Kerala. One was a great Sanskrit scholar and could chant all the mantras, you know, complicated. He knew the Vedas. Another one was a pure bhakta. He just knew the name of the Lord and he would sit quietly and chant the name of the Lord. And it is said, this is a true story, that Bhagwan appeared to that Sanskrit scholar and told him, he said, I like the other person's bhakti more than your vibhaktis. So the point is that our mind should be turned, and bhakti, the root is bhaja. Bhaja means to divide. You know, that's why it is divided into eight cases. But it should not divide us from Bhagwan. The knowledge should bring us closer to Bhagwan, that there is no difference between me and the Lord. He is the closest of the close and also the furthest of the furthest, because that's why in Guru Suktam he says he is beyond all the whatever the visible world. At the same time, he is my true essence. And we find that when somebody is near, even the person may be at a distance, somebody I love very much, but when I talk to that person, I talk in a whisper. Why? Because I feel so close. On the other hand, somebody I dislike, and even he may be sitting close to me, but I shout loudly. So they say with Bhagwan, you don't need to chant. I mean, you can chant loudly if you want, but the idea is to remember that he is within me as the life principle, as the consciousness, and have total undivided love. And the best example of love is Radha. You know, Radha, that's why we worship Radha Krishna together. We say Radha's name first. So Radha comes from Radhayate iti Radha. One who worships Bhagwan is Radha. And we know her, you know, her stories of how her undivided love for Radha, for Bhagwan was. And what is the opposite of Radha? Radha's opposite is Dhara. So dhara means our mind is like a stream that flows away from God in all different directions. So they say, turn that dhara into Radha and turn it towards God. And in Vivek Chudamani, Shankaracharya ji says very beautifully,
he describes that there are five senses, you know, the eyes, ears, nose, skin, and tongue. And he talks about five animals who get caught by just one sense, like Koranga, you know, the deer, Koranga, because he has beautiful color, just by sound, you know, the hunter plays the flute and the deer gets enchanted by the sound, comes close to the hunter and gets caught. Or the elephant by touch, what the hunter does is he will put a female elephant and in between he will put a pit, covered it with leaves. And the male elephant, if he wants, if the hunter wants to capture, he will put the hole in such a way covered with leaves that the elephant cannot see it. And the male elephant wants to come and touch the female and he falls in the pit in the middle and gets caught. Then the moth, Patanga, you know, Patati Iti Patanga, he gets caught with the flame, with the sight, with his eyes, he gets caught. He runs towards the flame and he gets burnt. And then the fish, you know, how does fish get caught? By taste. You know, you just put a bait there and wait. And who fishes? Men. Men can sit for hours in one place and do nothing. And the wife comes and asks him, what are you doing? He said, I'm sitting and doing nothing. A woman will say, "Arey, I have so much to do, kids to take care of, housework. And yeah, whoa, man has no problem. He can sit for hours doing nothing. So that's what he does, catches the fish, and the fish gets caught by the taste. And then the bee, you know, the bee by the smell, the bee gets attracted by the smell of the flower, but there are certain flowers which are insect eating, which collapse and capture the bee or the insect. And so each of them just gets caught by one sense, one by touch, one by taste, one by sight, one by sound, and one by smell. But we have all five. So how much more danger we have? So that's why our masters tell us that keep your senses under control and turn them towards the Lord in devotion. And what is the difference between devotion and attachment? You know, both are love. But in attachment, we are attached to one person or one thing or one object. But in devotion, we are attached to Bhagwan and through him to all. True devotion means I see Bhagwan in everybody. So devotion is love, attachment to all. When there is attachment means when there is love for all, that is devotion. When there is love for one, that is attachment. And in true devotion, there is no I, me, or mine. Everything is Bhagwan's. Whatever I own, everything is Bhagwan's. And actually, what nothing actually belongs to us because we temporarily have it. It was given by Bhagwan, who is the creator. And eventually, we have to leave it. So everything belongs to Bhagwan. That's why all the beautiful things you can't claim as yours. Like you see a beautiful sunrise or a sunset. Can you say, "Arey, look at this sunrise, ye mera hai?" No, we can't say that. Or look at these mountains, look at this beautiful meadow, flowers. Everything is his creation. Everything is Lord's. And that's why then such an individual who is a true devotee has no raga dvesha, has no likes or dislikes. Because everything is Bhagwan's, everything was created by Bhagwan, and whatever I have is his gift to me. So that's why he says, "Oh Bhagwan Shri Krishna, please protect us, and I prostrate to you, who is the source of this whole universe, and this whole universe abides in you." So beautifully, we can see how the poet has used his abilities and the eight cases of Sanskrit to glorify Bhagwan Shri Krishna. Auntie, you want to do the next one? Number 35, you have the book?
I have the book. I'll try.
Tatvam prasida Bhagavan Kuru Maya Nathe.
Tatvam prasid bhagavan kuru madhyanade.
Vishnu Kripam Paramakarunika Kilatvam.
Vishnu Kripam Paramakarunika Kilatvam.
Samsara Sagara Nimagnam Anantadinam.
Sansara Sagar Nimagna Manantadinam.
Udhartum Arhasi Hare Purushottamosi.
Udhartum Arhasi Hare Purushottamosi.
Thank you. You can please mute. Tatvam Prasida Bhagavan Kuru Mayanate. Vishnu Kripam Paramakarunika Kilatvam Samsara Sagara Nimagnam Anantadinam Udhartum Arhasi Hare Purushottamosi.
So here, this is a prayer, a beautiful prayer to Bhagavan. He says, O Tattvam, therefore you should. Tattvam, here Tattvam does not mean essence, but we break it. Tattvam, therefore you, because he has said in the previous one that please protect me. So he says, Tattvam prasida. O Lord, Bhagavan, be gracious to me. Prasida means shower your grace on me. Guru, in the next line he says, Kripam, have mercy upon me. Why? Mai upon me, anathe, because I am anath. Anath means I have nobody else except you. And O Vishnu, you shower your grace upon me. Why? Because you are Paramakarunika, most compassionate one, Kilatvam. Is it not true that you are the most compassionate one? That's what the Puranas say. Then why don't you shower your grace upon me, who is helpless? I am anatha. And why am I helpless? Why am I suffering? He says, Samsara Sagara Nimagnam. I am drowning in this sagar called samsara. We have talked about that. We'll talk a little more. And this sagar is ananta. I don't see any end, just as if you're fallen in the ocean. In the form of ship, and then you don't know where, how far the ocean extends. So similarly, he says, I am dinam, I am miserable person, I am suffering in this endless ocean of samsara. I don't know how to get out of this samsara. Who can save me? Udhartum arhasi. Udhartum means udhartum, means one who can lift me. Arhasi means you are capable alone. Who can lift me? Oh Hari Bhagwan Krishna. Why? Because you are Uttam Purusha, Purushottamosi, and you are the Supreme Lord, and only you can save me. So prayer is very important. That's why Mahatma Gandhi said that if I had not prayed, I would have gone mad. Because prayer is the one that keeps us sane despite all worldly problems. All we have to do is remember Bhagavan Sri Krishna or whoever our Ishta Devta is, and our mind instantly is protected, instantly is saved. And prayer is a sign of humility, should be done with humility, just as this Kulashekhar, even though he was the king, he said, I am an orphan, I am humble. Why? Because I have nothing except you. Because all worldly relationships are temporary. Somebody loves you today, may not love you tomorrow. Somebody is nice to you, may not be. But Bhagavan is one with whom our connection is permanent. Not only of this life, of many lives, and that we should always remember. And remember with humility, because if you look, if rain falls, where does it collect? In the lowest part. If there is some depression, rain collects there, water. So similarly, when I'm humble, then Bhagavan's grace, which is flowing everywhere, collects. So humility is very important. And he says, protect me. So in the path of knowledge, We do in Medha Suktam, Shrutam Me Gopaya. Preserve my knowledge. May I, whatever I remember, whatever I have heard, whatever, you know, the gurus have taught us, please protect my knowledge, Shrutam Me Gopaya. Because on the path of the intellect, we find that no matter how much I use my intellect, intellectually you cannot know Bhagavan. Ultimately, the intellect is needed to take us to a certain point. That's why this knowledge in, you know, all this Gita and Upanishads and Mukundamala and all, we study with our intellect. And intellectually they say tatvamasi, you are that, and all the, you know, all the knowledge, and that is good. But then ultimately the intellect comes to a point where it cannot go any further, it becomes helpless. And there Bhagavan's grace is needed to lift us out of that. So I can take my intellect so far, and then the rest is up to him. So the intellect has limitation. Not that one should not use the intellect, but then understand the limitations and ask for his grace. Why? Because intellectually, if I think I know a lot, it can create ego. You know, I know so much. I am so smart. I can chant. I can read Sanskrit. So this ego becomes an obstacle in our spiritual journey. So the ego has to be reduced. Bhagwan, you alone are the doer. And then he calls him Purusha Uttam. Purusha. What is Purusha? Pure Shayanati Iti Purusha in Sanskrit. They say that which abides in this Puri, in this village, in this town, in this place called body. That's why Bhagwan in Bhagavad Gita says, Nava Dware Pure Dehi Naiva Kurvan Nakarayan. So this Purusha, this supreme consciousness, abides in me, in all of us, neither doing anything nor causing anything to be done. But it is only in the presence of this Purusha, when it is reflected in this mind and intellect, I am able to function. So he is the supreme, and this Prakriti, whatever I am seeing, this body, mind, intellect, this earth, this universe, stars, moon, everything is Prakriti alone. And in the Sankhyan philosophy, Prakriti and Purusha together constitute this universe. In the Vedanta, there is Purusha alone, and Prakriti is an illusion, Maya, because of which this whole universe manifested. But we take this Maya to be real, this sansar to be real, and then we are caught. And then day, you know, mornings becomes evening, and then evening becomes morning, and morning before you know it, the summer is gone, winter is gone. You know, dinya minyo saya prata shishira vasanta upunarayat kala kridati gachati ayu tadapinam munchati asha vayu. In Bhaj Govindam, Shankaracharya ji says time is moving very fast. You know, spring, summer, autumn, winter, morning, evening is coming. So give up this asha, you know, give up this desire for worldly things and turn your mind towards God. And, but God's grace alone is not enough. We have to put effort. That's why Bhagavan Sri Krishna in the sixth chapter says, Uddharet Atman Atmanam na Atmanam avsadayet Atmaivhi Atmano Bandhu Atmaiva Ripur Atmana. He says, lift yourself by yourself. That's why, you know, people say, oh, I'll just surrender to the guru and guru will lift me. Gurudev said, I'm not a mule. I'm not going to carry you on my back. I'll give you the knowledge and then you use it. And even Bhagavan says, try and then surrender. We have to put our effort. We cannot say, "Arre, I'm just going to surrender to Bhagavan. Let him come and lift me." No. I have to put my effort, I have to study, I have to do all the pujas, I have to get the knowledge, I have to do karma yoga, I have to do whatever I can to help the world, and then surrender, and then say, okay, Bhagwan, this is all I can do, now rest is up to you. And so the combination of effort and grace, effort alone is not enough, and grace alone will not come until we put the effort. And that's why we say in aarti, tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera. But then we say aarti plate, ye mera, I want to take it back. Bhagwan says, you just said tera tujhko arpan. No, everything is that, even aarti plate is Bhagwan's. So that understanding one should have. And even if you question, ultimately the surrender, that's what we see in Bhagavad Gita, in Arjuna, in the third chapter, he says, you are saying knowledge is better than karma, then why are you, tat kim karmani ghore mam, why are you putting me in this effort? And then in the fifth, he says, sometime you praise knowledge, sometime you praise action. So questions are okay, but by the end, he says, yes, nashto moha smritir labha, karishye vachanam tava. He says, Bhagwan, I have heard all the 700 shlokas and my delusion is gone, and now I will do what you say. So even though he had question, even though he had doubt, but by the end of the teaching, his doubts were gone. And that's why the Bhagavad Gita, you can see in 18 chapters, how the transformation of Arjuna, who was completely collapsed, and by the 18th chapter, he's ready to become an instrument. So that should be our attitude, that I am a humble instrument in Bhagwan's hands. Karishye vachanam tava. So that's why he says, Bhagwan, I am anath, I am lost, drowning, only you can save me. That's why in 12th chapter, Bhagwan says, na tesham aham samuddharta mrityu samsara sagarat. He says, one who surrenders his mind to me, I will instantly become his savior and I will pull him out of this samsara sagar. Sujata, you have this book?
Yes, she does.
You can do number 36.
Yeah.
Namami Narayana Pada Pankajam.
Namami Narayana Pada Pankajam.
Karomi Narayana Pujanam Sada.
Karomi Narayana Pujanam Sada.
Vadami Narayana Nama Nirmalam.
Vadami Narayana Nama Nirmalam.
Smarami Narayana Tattvam Avyayam.
Smarami Narayana Tattvam Avyayam.
You can please mute, we'll all chant together. Namami Narayana Pada Pankajam. Karomi Narayana Pujanam Sada. Vadami Narayana Nama Nirmalam. Smarami Narayana Tattvam Avyayam. One of the commentaries, I try to refer to multiple commentaries. One of the Swamiji says, this is the simplest and the sweetest verse of the whole Mukundamala. It's also shortest. So if you want to memorize one verse of out of 40, whatever, 43, 44, he says, pick this one because this is the easiest one. If you want to memorize one, best is to memorize all if you can, or as many as, but this is one that is easy to memorize. So because it is all Namami Narayan, Karomi Narayan, like that, it is easy to memorize, so that you can start with that. So Namami, Namami means I bow down, I worship Narayana Pada Pankajam, his feet, lotus feet. Lotus, as we know, is worshipped in Hindu tradition because the lotus, even staying in the muck, does not get affected, remains above. So similarly, our mind should be like the lotus. So by worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, I will be able to free myself from the bondages of this world. So Namami Narayana Pada Pankajam, I worship the lotus feet of the Lord. Karomi Narayana Pujanam Sada. Sada means always I worship Narayana. I do puja. So he says, means 24 hours I do nothing except sit in front of Bhagwan and keep on praying. Now what it means is every action of mine should be puja. Yes, a certain amount of time we must take out and sit in front of Bhagwan and do some prayer, offer some flowers, chant, you know, prostrate and so on. But throughout the day, all my actions should be worship of the Lord. So he says, that's why Karomi Narayana Pujanam Sada, always, at all times. And then Vadami Narayana Nama Nirmalam, and may I chant Narayan's name, which is Nirmalam, which is pure, which is without any contamination. And Smarami Narayana Tattvam Avyayam, and may I always remember Narayan, but in his essence, not only Narayana in form as Bhagwan Vishnu or Krishna or Sri Krishna or Rama, but as the supreme essence, that the substratum of this whole universe, which is also my essence. So what this shows is that what is our obstacle in reaching God? It is the ego and personal desire, that I am something and I am. So he says, always have humility. Namami, I bow down, I worship, so that my ego melts. The ego should disappear. That's why the feet of the Lord, because the feet, same thing, we touch the feet of the guru, because the guru stands on his knowledge, and through humility, I prostrate to Bhagwan. So this shows that Bhagwan, you are the doer. And the word puja, that I listened to one commentary, it says puja means pu plus ja. Purnatvam jayate iti puja. So by doing puja, we can reach purnatvam. We can reach that ultimate final goal. So that's why he says, that's why in the steps, you know, in the 16 steps, we do avahayami. We invite the Lord. But what do? We put our hand on our heart and then we say avahayami. So what it means is that the Lord that is in my heart, I invoke him. So if you have a picture of Bhagwan or a statue or Shiva Linga, when I put one hand on my heart and one hand on the statue or the picture, means I invite the Lord that is in my heart into that picture. So it's not bringing from somewhere Vaikuntha, he is in my heart, but I invoke him. And then you do all the, you know, patram and, you know, all this achamaniyam and all that, do all your 16 puja steps, you know, snanam and all those. And then at the end, you say, yathasthanam pratishthapayami. Again, you put one hand on your heart and one hand on the picture or on the shivaling or the murti. That means, may that Lord reside back in my heart. So when you say yathasthana, means the Lord that is in my heart, I invoke. So that is the essence of puja, that Bhagwan is not somewhere else, but is in me and I invite him. And through the process of puja, that which is agochara becomes gochara. Even in the earlier verse, he said that Narayana gocharam, these names of Narayana, the Lord who is normally agocharam, cannot be seen with the eyes, heard with the ears. You cannot think about him, even though mind and intellect can only take us to a point. Beyond that, it cannot. Through this process of puja, humility, and surrender, you go beyond that. And so from agocharam, it becomes gocharam. So the Lord that is normally cannot be known through the senses, through the mind and intellect, through humility and surrender, we realize that this Lord is not anybody outside, but my own nature, my own swarupa. So that is what this puja will do, that see the Lord everywhere and see the Lord within. And that's why all these Mahatmas, when we see their examples, how they surrender, how much love they have for Lord, like if you sit with Swami Tejomayananda ji, you just feel the love oozing out of him, or when we listen to his Ramayana or Bhagavat, how much love they have. So that's what this is, Siddhasya sadhanani sadhakasya. Siddhasya gunani sadhakasya sadhanani. The qualities of these wise people are there for us to emulate. That's why we listen to stories of all great saints, Mirabai and Tukaram and Narasimha Mehta and so on, Sant Gyaneshwar, so that in our mind also we may have. That's why Kulashekhar Alwar, when you see how much love he has, the idea of studying this Mukund Mala is that may I have as much love for Bhagwan as Kulashekhar does. Then only my study is useful. Otherwise, I admire, oh, he was a great devotee and he's gone. Yeah, but what am I getting out of it? So that is the idea. And you should have complete faith in the teachings and also faith in yourself. That means that when I do something or when I decide something, I must carry it out. So I must have trust and integrity that whatever I promise, I must do. Whatever I have decided that from tomorrow morning I'll get up and do puja, then I'll do it, or meditation, or you know, chanting, or whatever I have. So be firm in our, so there's a story of this father who was a very successful businessman, and he tells his two sons, remember, trust and integrity are most important in any business, in success of any business. You must have trust and integrity. So they say, okay, father. And he says, whatever you promise, you must do. So they say, okay. We said, but one secret I will tell you, never promise anything. Because if you promise, you have to do. So never promise. That's why in India, you go, you ask somebody, kab hoga ye kaam? When will it happen? Ho jayega saab, ho jayega. Kab hoga, kaun karega? Ho jayega, it will happen. Sometime it will happen. When, tomorrow? No, not like that. Once I have decided, then I have to do it. There is none of this ho jayega. You know, not today, tomorrow I'll start puja, or day after tomorrow, or next week, or next year, you know, from January 1st. No. On the day you decide, that itself should become the day for your spiritual journey. And then he says, what is Narayan's essence? Tattvam avyayam. That's why in Chatushloki Bhagavat, which is in four shlokas, the whole essence of, the entire essence of Vedanta is given. We have heard from Swami Tejomayanandaji here in Bakersfield. The first shloka is Ahamevasam Eva Agre. I alone was. Bhagavan says, I alone was first, and then from me came this whole universe. That's also we heard in the seventh, in the previous shloka, where it says that in Narayan is this whole universe, and from Narayana has this whole universe emerged. Now we'll do shloka number 30.
And also the story of Shabri is very beautifully given.
Thoda jor se bol
rahe hain. Shabri's story is very beautifully given. Everybody should read
that. Yeah, yeah. Please read Swami Ishwarananda Ji's commentary. Yes, because beautiful. He has given very beautifully the, yes, how the Shabri's story is expressed. Yes. Rama Ben, you would like to do the next one? Number 37. What page is that?
160.
Is page 160 in the blue book. You can unmute. Yeah, please unmute. Can you unmute? You found it? Again. Okay. Ananta Vaikuntha Mukunda Krishna.
Which book? Is this the book?
Yeah, the blue book, page 160. Not this one. Maybe somebody else can do it then. Ambika, you want to do it? Ananta Vaikuntha Mukunda Krishna.
Ananta Vaikuntha Mukunda Krishna.
Govinda Damodara Madhaveti.
Govinda Damodara Madhaveti.
Vaktum Samarthopi Navakti Kaschit.
Vaktum Samarthopi Navakti Kaschit.
Aho Jananam Vyasanabhimukhyam.
Aho Jananam Vyasanabhimukhyam.
Together, Ananta Vaikuntha Mukunda Krishna Govinda Damodara Madhaveti Vaktum Samarthopi Navakti Kaschit Aho Jananam Vyasanabhimukhyam.
So he says Ananta. So these are different names of Bhagwan Shri Krishna. Actually, some people, there is one verse which is not been given in Swami Ishwarananda's commentary, but there are numerous names in the previous verse also, which has been excluded. So he says Ananta Vaikuntha. You are the abode of Vaikuntha. You reside in Vaikuntha. And Vaikuntha resides in you because the Bhagwan is universal, all pervading, infinite. So Ananta Vaikuntha, you are endless, you are infinite, Vaikuntha. And Mukunda means one that gives liberation. Muku means liberation, Da means Dadati. So one who gives liberation is Krishna. And then Krishna has many meanings. I'll talk to them and I'll talk when we do the commentary. And then Govinda. Govinda means the senses. Govinda means, Go is the senses. Vinda means the Lord of the senses. So the consciousness within, because of which the senses function. Damodara. Damodara means one whose belly was tied down by Mother Yashoda. She tried to tie his belly. Everybody knows that story. And Madhava iti, Ma means Lakshmiji. So who is the Lord of Lakshmi? And then he says, these are all the names. And then in the previous shloka, there are more names. There are about 20 names. So he says, Vaktum Samartha api, even though we are capable of saying, how long does it take to say Krishna? Not at all, Shri Krishna. How long does it take? But na vakti kaschit, but people don't say it. You know, they say, oh, I'm too busy. I don't have time to remember and do all this japa and puja and all. Why? Aho, alas, Kula Shekhar is sorrowed, sad. He says, Jananam Vyasana Abhi Mukhyam. Our face, Mukhyam, our face. Abhi means turn towards. Where? Towards evil. Jananam. Everybody's mind is turned towards evil and do not remember the Lord. So that's if you turn your mind away from the Lord, then your mind is in the wrong direction. And the names should be memorized with understanding the meanings, if you can. You know, meanings are, even if you memorize a few names, but know the true meaning. And when you are doing puja, when you are offering flowers or offering petals or leaves, you are offering your vasanas. So each petal or each leaf, when it is offered, it should not be mechanically done, Om Krishna Namaha, so and so on, like that. It should be done that I am offering my negativities, offering my all my vasanas, all my evil tendencies to Bhagwan. So it is bhakti and jnanam, both are important, that our mind should be, that's why Gurudev said, the mind and intellect, the heart and the head are like two wings of a bird. Both are required. You should have love for Lord and you should have the right knowledge. And when he said to be Madhava, the Lord of Lakshmi Ji, means Lakshmi Ji represents material wealth.
and represents Prakriti. So this consciousness that is within everybody, that enlivens everybody, is that Sri Krishna. Krishna word has many meanings. I'll just mention two or three. One is Akarshana, comes from Krishna. Akarshana, that's the word Krishna comes from. Akarshana means to attract. So his name is so attractive. Remembering him, our mind gets filled with love. It is attracting. And Krishna also means dark. Krishna, the word means dark. So this knowledge of Bhagwan is hidden until a guru reveals it to us. That's why we read commentaries of Puja Gurudev and all these other acharyas, Ishwar Anandji and all. Because this knowledge which is hidden can only be revealed by the guru. And then another word is Rama. Rama means Sarveshu Hridayeshu Ramati Iti Rama. The one that revels in everybody's heart and in whom everybody's heart revels. And the efficacy of this name is so powerful that it can take us beyond the cycle of birth and death. In fact, it's very interesting. Puja Gurudev, when he was not doing anything, he would have a mala in his hand and he would say, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And they would say, Gurudev, why do you need to do that? You are already an enlightened master. Why do you need to do japa? People like us, okay. Gurudev said, never take your mind for granted. No matter how much you know, your mind can very quickly get deviated. So when the mind has nothing else to do, just tell it to get busy chanting. So I've finished my work. Even while working, I should chant and then take some time out and chant. So the chanting of the name is very, and it should be done throughout the life, not only at the end. They say at the end, I'll remember God. No, that's not going to happen. It's like people for the exam, you know, the night before only they study, they mug up and they pass, or they may pass or may not, but then they promptly forget. So the knowledge should be throughout the year. That's why one grandmother was reading the Bible and the granddaughter says, Mom, Grandma, what are you reading? So she says, Bible. So she says, what is that? So somebody said, Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth. Bible, basic instructions before. So it should not only be basic instructions before leaving earth. Bible should be read throughout the life. So that is the idea. But what we do, Sankat Kale Venkat Ramana. You know, we remember Venkat only at the time of Sankat. No, it should be remembered throughout. And one should know the value. Because what we do is we value temporary things and don't value the real thing. In a commentary I was reading, it's like you give a $100 bill to a child. What will he do? He'll put it in his mouth. He doesn't know what is the value. But you and I, we say, "Arey, nahi, 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 don't give him. This is worth a lot." So similarly, Mahatmas know the value of the name. And they, Kulashekar again and again is telling us, remember Bhagwan, and then only your life will be fulfilled. So we'll end here. Beautiful verses, all of the tell us about the glory of Bhagwan's name, why one should remember, and what is the benefit of remembering, and what is true bhakti. It's very well given. Anybody has any questions, comments? We have about 5 or 6 minutes.
No, Upasana. It is an Upasana.
Nam
Upasana is the easiest.
Yes, Nam Upasana is the easiest.
And it is the most recommended for the Kala Yuga. That's
right. So Neeru said for Kala Yuga, that is the japa, you know, the remembering the name of the Lord is the most efficacious. In the previous yugas, our mind was more pure and we could do all this Upanishad, you know, study and all. In this one, the best is to do this. Not that one should not study and all, but easiest and the most efficacious in this. That's why in the previous shloka, he says, oh, which kim aushadam klishyasi mooda durmate. He says, you are searching for all these other medicines. The best medicine is Krishna Nam Rasayanam Piba. Drink the nectar of Bhagwan Sri Krishna's name. Yeah, Lata, go ahead.
In the shloka 36, the definition for avyayam is given is undiminishing. Can you just elaborate a little bit more?
Avyaya means which does not change, immutable. Immutable, which never changes. See, that's why this Brahman or this consciousness never changes. There was not a time when it was more and less. It is homogeneous mass of consciousness, unchanging, immutable. There are various names. So Avyaya is basically immutable, unchanging, which never will. And everything else in the world is changing. Everything else in the world is temporary. Only that is permanent. And so that is our true nature. When we remember, then I also become permanent. Then I realize that I am immutable. I am permanent. So these qualities are not only of Bhagwan, Vishnu or Lord Shiva. That's why Shiva says Mrityunjaya. But I am also. That's why Bhagwan in the Gita starts with that you are that immutable self. Who has taken this body called Arjuna or these kings and all that? But the essence of everybody is one. It is immutable, okay, changing.
Is that the reference of from Mrityum to Amrutam Gamaya?
Yes.
Is that when I realize that I am not this limited BMI, but that immutable one? Is that what it referenced to, that last line?
Absolutely, yes. Mrityum ma Amrutam Gamaya. From death I may go to deathlessness, to the immortal. From mortal may I go to immortal, from darkness may I go to light, and from ignorance may I go to knowledge, and from the temporary may I go to the permanent. Asato ma asato. So that
is for changes to
thank you
changeless.
Yeah, so you said that for changes to take place you need a changeless substratum, like the river to flow needs a river bed which is changeless. So all the changes
to appear,
right?
Like
so
a screen also for the movie.
What a Joe say? They can't hear you. What she's saying is the same thing, that that the changeless substratum is required, just as the screen is required for the movie, and the movie is changing, but the screen is changeless. So on this changeless Brahman, this whole universe which is changing has appeared by maya, by illusion, but one should not get caught by the illusion but hold on to the substratum, which is me, myself. And that's what the student also realizes after studying the Upanishad. The teacher says tatvam asi, you are that, and then he says aham brahmasmi, my true nature is Brahman, and he goes beyond this mortal body to the immortal.
Yeah.
Urva rukam iva bandhanan mrityor mukshiya mamrityam. So same thing. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
This mortal body. Thank you. Anything else? Anybody has any questions, comments? Satish Bhai, anything you would like to add, or you are at work?
I love the example of how animals had one sense and they get trapped. We have five senses.
Right.
So it's enormous danger there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. Okay, we'll end. And next week, there are five shlokas. I'll try to finish because the fifth one is very short. And we'll try to finish next week. And then the week after that, I'll try to do Aditya Hridayam. I have never done it or studied it very much, but I'll try. We'll all chant together. And maybe Jayashree can do the chanting of Aditya Hridayam from next week at the end. So people can practice and I can also listen. And then we'll start from the week after that, Aditya Hridayam. So we'll do the closing. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha. Hari Om.
Thank you. Hari Om.
Do we have the books for this?
Aditya Hridayam, we have a book, Neeru?
Shorty booklet, maybe you check in your...
I have it. I have two at home.
Yeah, oh, okay. That book collection.
Yeah. So you have two. So maybe somebody can borrow from Shaben. Yeah, so yeah, or you can listen online, but we do have small booklet. Yeah, it's given in Prasad.
And also Book of Hymns has the
shloka. Yeah.
Okay.
Book of Hymns. So you'll have the shloka. I'll do the word by word translation.
Okay.
Then we'll
thank you.
Do the commentary together. We can study and discuss. Yeah. Book of Hymns has.
Are you not going to do that Sattvaswatara Upanishad?
Oh, no, Shvetashvatara, that Swami Ishwarananji will do when he comes in March.
He is coming 3rd to 7th.
Oh. Of April. He's coming in April. So yes. He has done one chapter. He will continue. And that I'll leave for Swamiji. But we had just done the summary, one class, I think, last time after Swamiji left.
Oh, so this, what is this book name?
This one is called Aditya Hridayam. It's a very small booklet. If you have the Book of Hymns, you can find it or you can find online. Aditya Hridayam. And so it is the prayer of Bhagwan Sri Rama to the Lord Sun.
Okay.
Yeah, Aditya Hridayam. So if you have the Book of Hymns, it is there.
Okay.
Or you can get it on, in YouTube or Google, you can find the shlokas. But next week, we'll still do Mukundamala one more week, and then we'll do it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Hari Om.
Thank you.
Hari Om.
Hari Om. Thank you.
Hari Om.
Thank you. Hari Om.
Thank you.
Hari Om.
Hari Om. Thank you. Hari Om Pallavi Ji, where are you? You can unmute. Where are you located?
I am right here in Bakersfield, actually very close to Varshaji's house. I live on Villa Bella Lane. Uh-huh. And this is so fascinating for me, and I really appreciate it. Maybe if I can ask you, is it possible that we can listen to some of your recordings again?
Yes. Or? Yeah, it's called firstpower.info.
Okay, firstpower.info.
Yeah, just one word. What is your phone number? I can text you the site.
Okay. It's 714.
714.
272.
272.
6281.
And what is your last name?
My last name is Chande, Chande.
Okay, so I'll just text you the site. And you just click on it and all the previous talks are there, not only of Mukundamala, but we have done Isha Vasya Upanishad, and we have all 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Wow. Every Sunday we are doing Bhagavad. I'll send you the weekly schedule.
Yes, please.
So we have a lot of classes. We have also Gita chanting.
Yes.
The first chapter we are just finishing. Okay. So that's on Monday evening. So we have classes throughout the week, Sunday to Thursday. I'll put you in our list and
yes.
I'll send you the whole weekly.
I would really like that. Yes, sure. I would I'll really like it.
And also the link where you can listen to all the previous talks of Mukundamala and other Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita, all 18 chapters.
Yeah, because this Mukundamala, this was beautiful. I mean, I was just listening to it. I'm just looking it in and I'm going to keep listening to it. I love all this stuff. You know, we say all these, chant all these things, but you know, sometimes you don't know the meaning of it.
Right.
So you don't understand properly. So it's nice when somebody can explain it to you when you understand and you're actually breaking it down, you know, every word and then saying it. And Aditya Hridaya Stotram, it's something that I started, chanting, yeah. I mean, I don't know by heart, but I have learned it online only. So it will be nice to know that, you know, we can actually say it the right way, because I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. But it's a beautiful stotra, you know. It's
right. So you can, if you log in at 12 noon, then actually 12 to 12:30 does chanting.
Right.
So were you logged in today?
Yes, yes, I was. I was
and listening. 12:30 to 1:30, we do the class.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's very important. Yes. I want to learn all this.
Right. And then on Sunday, we have Bhagavad Gita. You can either listen on Zoom or you can even come to the Chinmaya Mission.
Okay. Okay. So either way, you know, sometimes I go to my daughter's house, but if I can go on Zoom and listen to it, that would be great.
Yeah,
but in person, if I can come, that would be nice too.
Sure, yeah. Anytime, definitely.
Yeah, I will definitely come. I would love to join it. I can learn a lot.
Anji, Varsha Ben and Satish Bhai come all the time.
Yes, and Sudhaji. You know Sudhaji.
Sudhaji, Sudhaji.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, her too. I think she was telling me also, you know, Sudhaji and Varshaji have helped me a lot in the past 2 months. You know, my husband just passed away 2.5 months ago.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they came at the right time and they really helped me so much. And I call that Guru Krupa actually.
Yes, yes.
Say,
yes.
You know, I have my Guru and I felt like he was helping me throughout.
Yeah, who is your guru?
My guru is Swami Dattavadhut.
Acha, acha.
Yes. He's their ashram is in Nagarjun Sagar in Hyderabad.
Okay.
So whenever I go visit them. So,
very nice. Very nice.
So I think that's why I'm so, you know, I love all this. Just, you know, somebody explaining, you know that your guru is always there with you. But, you know, you were talking about ego and everything. Sometimes, you know, that we say, you know, yeah, it's my guru, it's my, you know, sometimes even that can become an ego and mm-hmm. We forget that. We mm-hmm. So we have to be really humble, and you say prayers, you know, is a form of humility, right? You know,
right.
And we have to learn all that stuff. So
right.
Still learning, and I know I'll be learning, but you know, I really listened to what you said and I really appreciated it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I am also learning because I, you know, try to learn and then share. So
yeah, but this is beautiful. It was so simply explained. I mean, you know, who would have said, you know, what Mukund means or what Govind means, Damodar. We just know these as names, but we don't know what the meaning. So you're saying, you know, do it with the meaning. If you know the meaning, that's better. So I think that is really good. So very interesting, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ji. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank
Namaste.
Hari Om.
Hari Om.